Hello. Today, on God's Word, we will be studying from Matthew, chapter 27, starting in verse 11. This is Jesus before Pilate. You can also look at some of the other verses that correspond to this. Luke, chapter 23, verse 1 through 6, and John, chapter 18, 28 through 40. In Matthew 27, starting in verse 11 and going through verse 14, we read, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor did question him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, Thou sayest. And in this being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer anything. Then saith Pilate to him, Dost thou not hear how many things they witness against thee? And he did not answer him, not even to one word, so that the governor did wonder greatly." In verse 11, the question is the center of the problem that existed. Art thou the earthly king of the Jews? If so, then he was a direct threat to Herod, Caesar. This would be a crime. However, Jesus preached a message of submitting to Herod or Caesar. Tribute in Matthew 22, verse 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees, having gone, took counsel how they might ensnare him in words. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we have known that thou art true, and the way of God in truth thou dost teach. And thou art not caring for anyone, for thou dost not look to the face of men. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And Jesus, having known their wickedness, said, Why me do you tempt, hypocrites? Show me the tribute coin. And they brought to him a denarii. And he saith to them, Whose is this image and the inscription? They say to him, Caesar's. Then saith he to them, Remember therefore the things of Caesar to Caesar, and the things of God to God. And having heard them wondered, and having left him, they went away. And concerning rulers and principalities, Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Remind them to be subject to principalities and authorities, to obey rule, unto every good work to be ready, of no one to speak evil, not to be quarrelsome, gentle, showing all meekness to all men. When the question is, art thou the spiritual king of the Jews? Then the obvious answer is yes. Going back to Matthew 27, we're going to look at verses 15 through 23. The crowd chooses Barabbas. Some of the verses that correspond to this: Mark chapter 15, verse 6 through 11. And Luke chapter 23, verses 13 through 25. Matthew 27, verse 15 through 23. And at the feast, the governor had been accustomed to release one to the multitude, a prisoner whom they willed. And they had then a noted prisoner called Barabbas. They therefore, having been gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Who will ye I shall release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he had known that because of envy they had delivered him up. And as he is sitting on the tribunal, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Nothing to thee and to that righteous one, for many things did I suffer today in a dream because of him." And the chief priests and the elders did persuade the multitudes that they might ask for themselves Barabbas, and might destroy Jesus. And the governor answered, said to them, "Which of the two will ye that I shall release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why, what evil did he?" And they were crying out the more, saying, "Let be crucified." In verse 19, we see that God intervened through a dream to make sure that Jesus was not falsely convicted of a crime. In verse 20, we see that this insurrection was caused by none other than the chief priests and the elders among the possible millions of Jews at Jerusalem for the Passover. Pilate was also concerned about having a full-blown riot on his hands, and that report would be received in Rome. Pilate, in verse 23, shows that Jesus was without sin. In verses 24 through 26, Pilate washes his hands. A comparative verse would be Mark 15, verses 12 through 15. And Pilate, in verse 24, having seen that it profited nothing, but rather a tumult is made, having taken water, he did wash the hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent from the blood of this righteous one. Ye see, and ye shall see. And all the people answered, said, His blood is upon us and upon our children. Then did he release to them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him up that he may be crucified. In verse 24, there is confusion among the translations as to whether the final words are see ye to it or ye shall see. If it was see you to it, it would mean take it upon yourselves. You are responsible for it if you put him to death. If, though, the literal translations are right, then it shows further interaction by God to show Pilate and the Jews that Christ was their Messiah and that he was without sin. Pilate, being a politician, was afraid of the people, both in their ability to cause immediate trouble, a major riot, and also to cause pressure from Rome. Maybe there was a little fear of God also, wishful thinking. Having taken water, the Jews were accustomed to wash their hands when they wished to show that they were innocent of a crime committed by others. Deuteronomy 21, verse 6, And all the elders of that city who are near unto the slain one do wash their hands over the heifer, which is beheaded in the valley. Psalms 26, verse 6 says, I wash in innocency my hands, and I compass thine altar, O Jehovah. Pilate, in doing this, meant to denote that they were guilty of his death, but that he, Pilate, was innocent, and that Jesus was innocent. But the mere washing of his hands did not free him from guilt. He was bound as a magistrate to free an innocent man. And whatever might be the clamor of the Jews, he was guilty at the bar of God for suffering the Holy Savior to be led to execution in order to gratify the malice of enraged priests and the clamors of a tumultuous populace. His blood is upon us and upon our children. That is, let the guilt of putting him to death, if there be any, be on us and our children. We will be answerable for it, and will consent to bear the punishment for it. It is remarked by writers, among the Athenians, if anyone accursed another of a capital crime, accused another of a capital crime, he devoted himself and children to the same punishment if the accused was afterward found innocent. So in all countries, the conduct of the parent involves the children in consequences of his conduct. The Jews had no right to call down this vengeance on their children. But in the righteous judgment of God, it has come upon them. In less than 40 years, their city and temple were overthrown and destroyed. More than 1 million of people perished in the siege. Thousands died by famine. Thousands by disease. Thousands by the sword. And their blood ran down the streets like water. So that Josephus says, it extinguished things that were burning in the city. Thousands were crucified, suffering the same punishment that they had inflicted on the Messiah. So great was the number of those who were crucified that Josephus says they were obliged to cease from it, room being want for the crosses and crosses for the men. To this day also the curse has remained. They have been a nation scattered and peeled, persecuted almost everywhere, and a hissing and a byword among people. No single nation probably has suffered so much, and yet they have been preserved. All classes of people, all the government of the earth, have conspired to overwhelm them with calamity, and yet they still live as monuments of the justice of God, and as proofs going down from age to age that the Christian religion is true, standing demonstrations of the crime of their fathers in putting the Messiah to death and in calling down vengeance on their heads. It is also important to note that they say, his blood be upon us. And his blood needs to be upon them and everyone. His blood is what saves, and everyone needs to have his blood upon them and upon their children. Verse 25. Scourged. This is a special kind of whipping. There was a limit of 40 lashes, so 39 was the usual maximum. If a person went over 40, they would receive the same amount of whippings. These whippings were not done with a riding crop that we use as a whip today. It would not even come close to what we may have received as youngsters. This whip had the following. Number one, it had sharp flesh-ripping metal or stones intertwined in the whip. Number two, to further increase pain, there was a weight on the end of the whip. This weight was used to make sure that the whip gripped to the back as it was being retracted. The purpose of all of this was to make sure that as much damage and thus as much pain was done as possible. This was generally followed by crucifixion. Thus the pain was the pain of deterrent. It was also used to shorten the amount of time on the cross. Such a beating often brought them very close to death. In verses 27 through 31, the soldiers mocked Jesus. comparison verses would be Isaiah 50, 4 through 11, Mark 15, 16 through 20, Luke 22, 63 through 65, and John 19, 1 through 15. Reading from Matthew 27, verse 27 through 31. Then the soldiers of the governor, having taken Jesus to the praetorium, did gather to him all the band, and having unclothed him, they put around him a crimson cloak, and having plaited him a crown out of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and having kneeled before him, they were mocking him, saying, Hail, the King of the Jews! And having spit on him, they took the reed, and were smiting on his head. And when they had mocked him, they took off him the cloak, and put on him his own garments, and led him away to be crucified. In verses 32 through 37, we read about the crucifixion. Comparative verses would be Psalms 69, 1 through 36, Mark 15, 21 through 32, Luke 23, 26 through 43, and John 19, 16 through 27. Reading from Matthew 27, verse 32 starting, And coming forth, they found a man, a Syrian, by name Simon. Him they impressed that he might bear his cross. And having come to the place called Golgotha, that is called Place of a Skull, they gave him to drink vinegar mixed with gall. And having tasted, he would not drink. And having crucified him, they divided his garments, casting a lot, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments to themselves, and over my vesture they cast a lot. And sitting down, they were watching him there. And they put up over his head the accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Verse 36, The Jews missed the fact that the crime they were accusing Jesus of was actually true. They missed also that the kingship was going to be in heaven, as opposed to a power play against Herod Caesar. As we mentioned earlier, the blood of Jesus needs to be upon everyone. Jesus died for us, so that we could be with him and with the Father in heaven. We need to make sure that we understand what has been brought forth. We need to not only understand it in our mind, but understand it in our heart. Understanding in our mind does it no good. Does us no good unless we take action to get it into our heart, to follow what Jesus has told us we need to do to become a Christian, to be faithful unto death, so that we can join Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit and the Christians that have gone before us, the Christians that are here now, and the Christians that will be in the future in heaven. As we have spoken of before, this should not just be something that we do for ourselves. This should be something that is done for all that we know, for all that we meet, for all that are afar off. God is said that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that means that we need to teach all of the people we know, all of the people we meet, and in some cases, like we are doing with this radio station, all those that are afar off. I may not actually meet you out there. I may not be able to talk to you out there in radio land. But I can, instead of having a conversation, I can bring forth God's word. Hopefully, you will want to go and make that word part of your daily life. Hopefully, you will have a desire to do God's will and to bring that will to all of those who need to know that. One thing I'd like to bring up also as a reminder is this should not be an excuse to not be in church. The sermons you hear here should be in addition to going to church or used for those who are not able to be in church, whether they're sick or homebound. And maybe for those who don't know the Lord yet, you can tell them about this station, about this message. We do thank you for listening. And we're going to end with a prayer. Dear Father, I'd ask that you would open the hearts of all those who are listening. And Father, that you would help them to do what you would have them to do, not only so that they can be with you, but so that all can be with you, so all can find a way to receive the ultimate blessing that Jesus has given, the salvation, the washing away of our sins, Father, help us to desire that and desire to give that away to everybody that we meet. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank you for listening. I hope this message has been helpful to you, and I hope that you will be back and listening to these messages that are at 3 a.m. and 3 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. May God be with you.